In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. Today, we're going to look at the Feast of All Saints. And there are three readings, as for any major feast, and they're the same every November 1st. So, we'll be looking at them now. I want to start off, though, because we're at that point. Who are the saints, anyway? Those are the ones who have let the life of Jesus Christ take over their life. And to let that happen is sometimes quite painful, even though it's basically joy. So I'm going to look first in this first section on the opening lines of Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, this newest apostolic exhortation of Pope Francis. It's very important for us to grasp this. In a way, he's very much himself here. He's talking about the things that mean most to him, and in a way that's most congenial to him. And it's very beautifully done and mediates part of this very joy of the gospel. So, the first paragraph begins, "The joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. Those who accept his offer of salvation are set free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness. With Christ, joy is constantly born anew. In this exhortation, I wish to encourage the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy, while pointing out new paths for the Church's journey in years to come." So encourage and point out. Those are the two things. But you notice, it's about joy. Therefore, it's about experiencing the realities mediated by the gospel. If I say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, he's been crucified, he's risen from the dead, he lives with the Father, he lives with us, and his deepest desire is to pour out his Holy Spirit into our hearts so that our hearts become more like his, and we can pray Abba and know what that means, a divine affection for the Father. We can know what it means to obey him and to share the Spirit's desire that the whole world know about it. That's why it's called the joy of the gospel. It starts off, of course, with those words. The joy of the gospel fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. That's the key. You cannot be convincing when you talk about the Christian faith unless you know Jesus personally yourself. That's the whole point. It's the whole point of this encyclical, you see. It goes on to say, "Those who accept his offer of salvation are set free from sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness." You just have to walk down the street of any big city, or even just turn on the television, to see how much sin, sorrow, inner emptiness, and loneliness characterize our world. The Pope goes on, with Christ, joy is constantly born anew. In this exhortation, and he says he wants to do two things in this exhortation. First, encourage the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy. Where was that? When somebody said, I'd believe you folks if you just looked a little happier. You're telling me God came among you. God died to forgive us all our sins and to bring us to an eternity with God. But, I mean, shouldn't that make you happy? So it goes on. So encourage, and then while pointing out new paths for the church's journey in years to come. So he wants to encourage people to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization while pointing out new paths for the church's journey. Well, then he begins the first section. A joy ever new, a joy which is shared. The great danger in today's world, pervaded as it is by consumerism, is the desolation and anguish born of a complacent yet covetous heart. The feverish pursuit of frivolous pleasures and a blunted conscience, which is a result of all that. See, the danger is our world is pervaded by consumerism. Why? Because we don't know the Lord. People who know the Lord don't have to keep buying stuff. They're happy with what they got. Because all the new clothes, all the new shows, all the new foods, all the new whatever, you know, and I know, and everybody in the world knows, that doesn't make you happy. See, I wish to see, to encourage the Christians to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy. I'm trying to remember where I was, and somebody was trying to preach, maybe a group, I don't remember now. And the guy they were talking to said, you know, I'd believe you people if you just looked a little happier. You know, they're doing their duty, their preacher group, but they don't know Jesus. Well, they know him very slightly. Joy of Jesus is the wellspring of genuine evangelization. Because even in this life, it's joy. And like really helping. I know I've told you this story before, but I think it's worth repeating. A friend of mine who's dead now, Marius McAuliffe, a Franciscan, did his doctorate on prayer and mysticism and that sort of stuff. He was a mystic himself. Well, there was somebody near us here who was in a wheelchair, a woman, but she had a great reputation for holiness. And the bishop, seeing all these people going to her, thought it would be good to sort of check her out. So he asked Marius to come and talk to her. And he did. And he talked for about a half hour, 40 minutes. He came out. And they said, well, what do you think? What do you think? And he said, it's genuine. Such joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. That's the infallible sign. Suffering, yes, but joy also. And so, I wish to encourage the Christian faithful to embark upon a new chapter of evangelization marked by this joy. And I also want to point out new paths for the church's journey in years to come. So, the first section of this encyclical is entitled, A Joy Ever New. A joy which is shared. It's both. The great danger in, and I'm reading from the text, the great danger in today's world, pervaded as it is by consumerism, is the desolation and anguish born of a complacent yet covetous heart, the feverish pursuit of frivolous pleasures, and a blunted conscience. That's the great danger. Pervaded by consumer. Why? We have to get everything new, the new, latest and the greatest, the best new clothes, the latest foods that they're selling, or whatever. See? Someone who knows the Lord, they have to eat, they have to buy new clothes once in a while, but their joy is in Christ. These other things will not make you happy. That's all there is to it. The reason why some people go on and on and on knocking themselves out to acquire wealth. Well, you know, it's competitive. It's a good idea. You know, work hard and make money. It's not so bad. But then what? You think buying new food, new clothes, new car, new whatever is going to make you happy? It's fun. It's better than having no clothes or no car, but it's not going to make you happy. Whereas, you know, people who know the Lord, rich or poor, have something else. And it's that joy which is the foundation. So if you want to go out evangelizing, you don't just convince somebody Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you better shape up. You talk about Him and people see that you know Him and that you love Him and that He gives you joy. I want that. I want that. So, the great danger in today's world, pervaded as it is by consumerism, the whole art of advertising is to convince people they need something they don't have. And they don't need it. And this is the feverish pursuit of frivolous pleasures and a blunted conscience. What's a blunted conscience? One that doesn't care about anybody else and who doesn't really get that they're living by the mercy of God. They don't have an alive conscience is someone who knows Jesus, loves Jesus, grateful to Jesus, and wants the whole world to know about Him. And of course, you know, that means knowing your sins are forgiven, because then you're free. That's why the church's wisdom, you can go to confession. The saints went a couple times a day, some of them, you know, just to have that sacramental assurance, my sins are forgiven. And then, you know, we look forgiven. We look happy because we know. And then if you want to talk, it makes sense. Huh? Whenever our interior life becomes caught up in its own interests and concerns, there is no longer room for others, no place for the poor. One of the signs of a person maturing is their concern for the poor. It was Jesus. Blessed are the poor in Luke. Blessed are the poor in spirit in Matthew. But poor, when we have to keep gathering stuff around to keep us safe, to keep us comfortable, there's something wacko. Whereas a guy like St. Francis, who didn't own anything, and had holes in his hands and feet, he ran through the woods playing on two sticks like a violin and singing. And so, that's this Evangelii Gaudium, of the joy of the gospel. So we'll pick up with that right there next time.